got a funny feeling and we're going to be on the phone for quite a while with the Deputy Director of Public Health England North West, David Hearn. Morning, David. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks, and lovely to be on you again.
Well, there's a lot of stuff to get through, but we'll go step by step anyway. I'll go with the list that I've made. First of all, in the mainstream media, we have mentioned it here at Cheshire's Silt 106.9, but only very briefly, because Leicester is a long way away from here in Cheshire. But these local lockdowns, do we need to worry about them? Are they going to spread around the country? And, you know, how do they kind of police that sort of thing? Is it just by postcode area? What does it all mean, a local lockdown, David?
So it's going to be it's difficult to fully appreciate yet, because obviously Leicester is the first of the potential local lockdowns. The government signalled that this was likely to be the way that we'd manage things going forward at the point when we launched Test and Trace. So when the Test and Trace system came into being, it gave us another arrow in the quiver, if you like, that we could use to control the spread of the virus. And I think one of the things that it allows us to do now is, with the data that we're getting through the testing system, to be able to pinpoint hotspots, and then rather imposing national lockdown, to be able to say that actually we can focus our efforts on a smaller area. So Leicester, unfortunately, has been singled out as the first of those areas where it would appear we've got a higher rate of transmission going on in some parts of the city. Now, in terms of what that actually looks like, obviously we're waiting to see how it operates, how the public respond, what that then means in terms of longevity before things start to improve. It's really difficult to predict, but it is now one of the key tools in the toolkit for the way in which we manage the virus in the coming months.
I've got a couple of questions to add on to the local lockdown situation, if you don't mind, David. One is a personal one from me. But first of all, let's just say, yeah, so Leicester is number one. That's happening now or soon over the next couple of days. And then all of a sudden they lock down, say, Birmingham. Then they lock down, I don't know, for example, Macclesfield or the Cheshire area, or the, you know, all of a sudden, all of these individual lockdowns, you might as well just do a UK-wide one because there's so many different areas cropping up. Is that likely to happen?
Again, difficult for us to say in concrete terms, no, it'll not happen, or it will happen. I think to a degree, we're almost back at the point where I think you and I talked for the first time, and I was saying, you know, this is in your gift. The main reason why we would end up with a lockdown is that we end up with community-based spread. And the thing that's going to drive that is people not respecting social distancing, not sticking to the guidance that's there, and beginning to move the virus around in ways that lead to wider spread. So to a degree, lockdowns will only happen if people make the conditions which then lead to it. So there's a fair amount of this which I think you can say to your listeners, this is in your gift. You know, if you respect the guidance that's there from the government, then the chances are that local lockdown won't be an issue for you.
I said that on the radio actually this morning in my 6 o'clock hour. I said, you know, what's happening in Leicester? Let's, in Cheshire, knuckle down, stick to the rules, go above and beyond the rules, and, you know, stick to the 2 metres and just really be vigilant, and hopefully it won't arrive in this area. So there we are. You took the words out of my mouth.
I think that's very sensible advice for people. It reflects the reality. You know, there are certain circumstances where, to a degree, we know transmission potentially happens. So in hospitals, you know, if people end up in hospital because they've got COVID, then there's always inevitably a risk that you'll get some degree of transmission within the hospital. To a degree, that's kind of off the pitch. That's not going to drive local lockdowns. What will drive local lockdowns is the transmission that goes on within the community. And folks, that's about us. You know, that's about what we do and the way in which we behave. So if we choose not to follow the guidance, then potentially we add to the spread. And if the spread reaches proportions that are worrying, then debates about local lockdowns follow.
How do, one last thing on the local lockdown situation, then we'll move on. How does it work for people like me? So I live in the Stoke-on-Trent area, but I work in Macclesfield. So one or the other might have a local lockdown, but yeah, maybe I can't leave that area, or do you know what I mean? It can get quite confusing.
It will, and I think that's why when you're pressing me to say what does it look like, I think some of that is part of what we're going to have to work out. Inevitably, you know, but boundaries are porous. So Leicester, I'm sure, is dealing with, as we speak, those types of questions about what we do with people who commute in and out of the city areas, because potentially the commuting is part of your transmission route. So limiting it will be one of the things that they will really want to try and understand and make effective. But I think that's down the path, and in some ways, if you're in the northwest, you can take a sigh of relief and be glad that somebody else is having to work that out for you.
Yeah. We're hearing a lot about a second peak. We're looking around the world as well. Some other countries may be getting a second wave, or I don't know what the correct term is, David. Maybe you could correct me on it. Is it a second wave or second peak?
Well, that very much reflects how it happens. So it's historically, it is the norm that in pandemics, you will get a first peak, and then you'll get later in the year a second. And it's traditionally, the timings are as we've seen them so far. So the first one usually in the early part of the year, coming out of the winter period, and then a second one going into it. What I would say is the Northwest is in a challenging position. So the Northwest's peak was one of the latest in the country. So we talk about a single peak for the country, but actually, if you look at the data, what it's telling you is that peaks happened at different points in the year, at different places in the country. So London peaked very early and had a very sharp peak. So it was steep up, steep down, and the numbers declined very rapidly. In the northwest, we were one of the last peaks, and we've got a sharp up and then a very slow, steady down. So the number of cases is going down, and it is going down steadily, but it's going down from a high base, and it's doing it more slowly than London experienced. And what that means is if we get a rebound, so that second peak, potentially it goes from a higher starting place. So it could potentially cause us more problems than other parts of the country who've seen more traditional sorts of spikes.
Are we going to get a second peak? We are going to get a second peak then, aren't we?
Are we going to get a second peak? If you were to ask me to put my mortgage on it, I would probably say it's almost inevitable that we'll get a degree of second peak. How well we manage the continuing decline over the summer, and how well people adhere to the guidance, how well we prepare for that second peak, so learn the lessons that we've made in the first peak in March, April. All of those things are going to dictate how big that peak is. So it could be quite small if we really review what we've understood in the March, April period. If the public play their part and they look at the guidance and they rigorously follow it as best they can, then potentially we go into the winter in a better place. The reason the winter is concerning is because as you go into the winter, coronavirus gets mixed up with flu and norovirus and all those other things that still will circulate in the winter. So just because we got coronavirus doesn't mean that we stop seeing our flu problem, for example. That's why the second peak is worrying people, because they can see that it goes into a period where other diseases circulate that cause real challenges to the health and social care sector. So things that will be really important going into it will be things like people getting their flu vaccination. So we know that there will be a major flu vaccination campaign in the early part of the autumn, and we will really need everybody to take up their flu vaccination if offered it.
Wow. Moving on then to some of the latest rules then. So this weekend, the 4th of June, is a big day, isn't it, David?
It is. A lot of things going to happen on the 4th of June.
So includes pubs, restaurants, is it cinemas on the 4th?
Cinemas, yes.
4th of July. Did I say 4th of June or 4th of July?
You did say 4th of July.
Good, that's all right. Yeah, so can we just go through some of those rules then that are going to be relaxed and what you can and can't do then?
So I suppose the key things are, I think you've listed a lot of the things that we'll have access to that we didn't have before. So pubs, restaurants, cinemas, a lot of those things are possible. Clearly, there are signals about international travel. No announcement yet, but we're expecting it at some point this week, which might give people the opportunity to get a summer holiday. Key things are you can meet in groups of up to two households. You can do that in any location, public, private, indoors, outdoors. You don't have to meet with the same household, so it's quite a lot of relaxation there. But whatever you do, whenever you meet with another household, you must socially distance. So I know that sounds a bit counterintuitive. You know, you can meet with different households and you can do it inside and you can do it out. The bottom line is social distancing is the key thing. That as far as possible, you stick to 2 metres if you can, and if you can't, 1 metre as an absolute minimum. Because that is going to be one of the ways in which you can break that chain of transmission. If you're outside, you can continue to meet in groups of up to 6 people, and they can be from different households. But again, social distancing must be in there. Lots of those additional businesses and venues opening, so we've said restaurants, pubs, cinemas, visitor attractions, hairdressers. You know, I know that in our house, hairdressers is top of the pile. Hotels, campsites. All of those things now potentially open on the 4th of July. Other places like libraries, community centres, places of worship, outdoor playgrounds and outdoor gyms, they'll also be open. And you'll be able to stay overnight away from home with your own house. So in other words, you can go and you could camp, but you won't be camping with somebody from another house.
Right.
Okay.
So there's a lot of stuff there then.
There is.
Let's just briefly touch on the wedding rules, because I was meant to get married in March. We've moved it back to November. Now, November, David, is still a long way away. Is everything going to be kind of back to normalish in November, would you think? Have you got a crystal ball that you can say, I don't need to worry so much?
I really wish I didn't have to say this. I think, you know that previous conversation about second peak?
Oh, it's going to be then, isn't it?
I'm afraid so. If it's going to be anywhere, it'll probably be at that point in the year. So what I think you might be at is the early point as cases start to rebound. And again, it is a lot of uncertainty about when that'll happen and how big a spike it potentially could be. We could, by the point we get there, have relaxed an awful lot of things, which might mean that the parameters for what a wedding looks like could be quite different. But it could also be that we're having to start thinking about control measures that reintroduce some of the things that perhaps we've relaxed over the summer, because we can see the start of the climb of the second peak. So I'm sorry, but I'm not going to be good news for you on that one.
I'm going to ban you from my radio show, David. Sorry about that.
I'm sorry.
Right, okay. Listen, thank you very much for coming on to us. I know there's a lot to... You know, we could talk for hours and hours about, you know, beaches, people going into pubs. Is it dangerous to go into pubs because people are going to have a drink? How's it all going to work and all that kind of stuff? But we don't have time, David. But I want you to come on again and go into more depth. Is that all right?
Yeah, of course we can. We're always here to... part of what we're here to do is to help you with some of that detail, because we understand, you know, people got lots of questions around this stuff. If you don't ask them on their behalf, then who can?
Yeah. Is there anywhere that people can actually go to ask these questions? Have you got, like, a forum or a social media page?
So I think what I would say is there is an awful lot of advice on the gov.uk website. I think a lot of the... So, you won't be surprised to hear that a lot of the things I've been telling you, we've drawn off some of the government websites so that we're consistent with the information. If people have got questions, you will find that you can answer 90% of them on the gov.uk website. It also tells you about things like how to get a test. It explains about what the contact tracing system looks like. So all the sorts of things that you might still have questions about, then do go and look at the gov.uk website, because I think you'll find 90% of your answers are there.
David, Deputy Director of Public Health England North West, thank you very much for your time.
You're welcome, and I do hope your wedding is okay.
I might just postpone it for the next 2 or 3 years, let it all die away, and then start again.
Cheers.
Cheers, bye-bye.